We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Eidus, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Dalid. We mentioned before that this chapter of Likutei Halachos is based on a Sicha in Sichoi Soran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, Paragraph 93, which is one of the unusual Sichois in Sicha Soran in that it's quite deep. Rabbein Ezal mentioned some very deep concepts there, and it was mentioned in an informal discussion. And we've started, we had one shir so far on this topic where we started expounding on it, and now Rav Nosson Zal is going to continue. He's going to clarify quite a bit of what's found in that sicha in Sichoi Soran. If anybody wants to see the full thing, it's paragraph 93 in Sichot Oran, Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom. Ki inyan chalukas alofim lameyos, because this concept of dividing up thousands into hundreds, which Rabbein Ezal mentions over there, he talks about taking a light that's thousands and breaking it down to smaller units, hundreds. Afal pi she'etzem hadvorim shiyotzu mipi Rabbeinu anizgov zal, even though these words themselves, which came out of Rabbi Nachman's mouth, Efsher lahasigam, are way above, are impossible for us to understand completely, meaning it's very deep. Ach mashenucha limtsoi bohem ezer emes. However, if we're able to find any hints in those words that we can relate to, that we can draw motivation from or inspiration from, anu mechuyovim lachdor b'chol koicheinu, we're obligated to search and to seek and to dig as best as we can, limtsoi mashenuchal, to draw, to derive what we can. Because Rabbi Nachman emphasized this to his students, as did other great tzaddikim, that even though some of the things they said were very deep, it's not that because it's deep, we ignore it. We don't do that. There are certain people, unfortunately, in Klal Yisrael, who have taken a position that there's a section of Torah called Sod, which makes up at least 25% of Judaism. And they have made a conscious decision to choose to ignore it, to choose to say, that's very deep. So they're very modest. These people are very modest and humble. They spend, some of them could spend 10, 12 hours a day studying deep Rishonim, Achronim, and being mefalpel, analyzing, doing scientific and spiritual analysis on one word in a Tosfos, but they've cut away, they've decided to disconnect, detach themselves from a major portion of Yiddishkeit, because that's too deep. It's, you know, so it's off limits, chas v'shon. And the Zohar HaKadosh writes very, very serious threats about what's going to happen to a person who had the ability, who could have studied that part of Torah, who could have drawn enlightenment and inspiration and chose not to. They're going to be very, very, very seriously called on the carpet for it. So here, when it comes to Rabbein Ezal's words, Rav Nosson Zal many times will say, even though this is very deep, still we have a responsibility to try to do what we can, to try to draw whatever we can from it. Vehine, inyan chalukas alofim lameyos, this concept that Rabbein Ezal mentions there about dividing, breaking down the light from thousands to hundreds, dahainu lechalek ho'or hagodol shubchinas alofim. Lechalkoi lachalokim shubchinas meyos, to take the great light, which is referred to as thousands, and break it down to smaller pieces, which are referred to as hundreds, kidei sheyuchlu lekabloi, in order that we should be able to relate to it and understand it and connect with it, zehu bechinas klal kol kabbalas haTorah. That's what the whole concept of the Jewish nation receiving the Torah from Hashem is really all about. Ki kol haTorah, because the entire Torah, shehi parshiyos usedorim vetevois voices, which is made up of parshas, Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Noach, Parshas Lech Lecha, and it's made up of chapters, and it's made up of words and letters. Heim kulam tzimtzumim nifloim lehoir hagodol kedei shenu halakabloi. Each one of those units is a vessel. It's a constriction of Hashem's great light, Hashem's infinite light, putting into units by which we can relate to it, by which we can study it and understand, you know, try to derive things from it. Shezeu bechinas chalukas alofim lameyos. This is another form of what Rabbi Nazal speaks about. They're taking thousands and bringing it down to hundreds. And now Rabbi Nosson Zal explains this a little bit using the Kabbalistic terms for this. Because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us in Parshas Beshalach, page 62, ki oiraiso mechochma ilo nafkes. The Torah that we have, there are people that are under the impression that the Torah is the top. There is nothing higher than the Torah. They simply haven't learned certain sections of the Torah. Otherwise, they'd be enlightened and they would find out that the Torah comes from a higher place. There's a place called Chachma Ilah. There's a spiritual level called Chachma Ilah, which is a level of Chachma that's much... If the Torah, as we know it, if we would refer to it as a million, then Chachma Ilah is a trillion. It's a much, much higher source of light from which the Torah comes from. Lahavdal, like a parent and a child. The parent gives birth to the child. The parent is 20 years old or 50 years old. The child is a newborn baby, this little, little tiny thing that weighs 4 pounds, 5 pounds that comes out of these two parents. Lahavdil, the Torah is born from and comes from a higher place called Chochma Ilah. Sheshom, where up there, in that place called Chochma Ilah, Hakoil bebechinas alofim. Everything is in the thousands. There's no, they don't use $100 bills there. That's too tiny currency. They only deal in thousands units. Kimuva biksovim, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal and Sifrei Kabbalah. Shelemala, that when we talk about the upper levels of spirituality, ho'or bebechinas alofim. Up there, the light is referred to as thousands. Ulamato, and as we move down, as we go down, nischalkim ho'oiros, the light gets split out, gets broken down into smaller units, bibchinas meyos, which are referred to as hundreds. Ki chochma ilo biatzmo, bibchinas alofim. Because this term chochma ilo that's used throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, throughout Sifrei Chassidus, chochma ilo is thousands. And e efshir lanu lekabel, and that's a unit that we can't receive. We can't deal with that directly. It's too far above us. We can't process it. Kihi bechinas oiraiso datika stimo, because that's referred to as the highest, deepest, hidden levels of Torah. Daasido leizgalia losid lovoi, which is only going to be revealed in the future, when Moshiach comes. The Torah says, Kimolo ha'oretz deyos Hashem, that there's going to come a time in the future when the world is going to be on a much, much higher level. And then we're going to be in a position to be able to process that, to deal with that. Lahavdil. You get a normal woman who feeds her family of 5 or 6 kids. And she goes to the butcher store once a month and buys an order, her $100 or $200 worth of meat, or what, depending on the family, depending on the status, which is going to last her family for a month. And the order, obviously, the pieces are cut up. There's 6 pieces of this, 4 pieces of that, 12 pieces of that. One day, the doorbell rings, and a guy shows up, and he's carrying a side of beef on his shoulder. The thing weighs like 200 pounds. And he says, the butcher decided to help you out. He saw that we delivered this beautiful side of beef, so he decided rather than chopping it up, here you go. And she looks at him and she says, you don't understand. Our doorways are not made for, this ain't going to fit through the door. Not only is it not going to get into the refrigerator, not only don't I have the freezer space for it, but it can't even get into the doorway of a standard apartment. Lahavdil. Ve'ein onu mekablim kim al yedei tzimtzumim. And because there are these levels of light that are so high, these light that's called the thousands, which we can't receive today, the only way we can benefit from that light is through tzimtzumim, by constrictions of it. Al yedei shenislapsha ha-Torah bilevushim elu, by the Torah being packaged, the thousands units being broken down and repackaged in a way that we can relate to it, that we can process it. Shezeu bechinas noiveles chachma shelamala Torah kemuva. This is what's referred to in the Medrash, in Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah, chapter 17. There the Medrash says that there are three things, there are three big items which have a small item that gives you a taste of it. One example, the Medrash says, is death. There's something called death, which is a complete shutdown of everything. And the Medrash says, if a person wants to taste death, they want to get a taste of what it's like, it's called sleep. When a person goes to sleep at night, where 80, 90% of the body shuts down. The digestive system, this, that, all kinds of things in the body shut down. So the Medrash says death is the big thing. Sleep is 1/60th of death. Then the Medrash gives a second example there. And then the Medrash says the third example is called noiveles, is called chachma ilah, of which a taste of it is the Torah. The Torah as we know it today is a taste, it's a fraction of Chochma Ilah. Kemuva, and as Rabbeinu Zal touches on this in chapter 123 in Likut Imran, Vizehu Bechinas Tzimtzumim. This is the term Tzimtzumim that's used throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, the concept of shrinking something down, bringing it down. Bechinas Chalukas Alofim Lameyos, breaking down the thousands into hundreds. V'alkein, this will explain a famous statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Kodmo ha-Torah alpayim shana, that the Torah preceded the world by 2,000 years. What does that mean? So Rav Nosson Zal explains, ki mitchilo hoiso bebechinas alofim. What that means is that the Torah in its original form was thousands. The Torah at that time was referred to as garments of light. Kosnos oyer, the word oyer is spelled with an aleph. Bebchinas alofim, the word aleph means one. The word aleph is also aleph, thousands. The Torah at that point in time was on such a high level that it was thousands units. Ve'im loy hoya choyte odom arishin beitz hadas. Had Adam and Chava not partaken from the Eitz Hadas, hoyo mekabel es ha-Torah bebechinas kosnosor ba'aleph. Adam Arishin would have been able to handle and to process the Torah on that level, kosnosor, like on the highest level. V'hoyo chai li'oilam. And therefore, Adam Arishin would have lived forever. There wouldn't have been any death. Why? What's the connection? Kishom lemalo bebchinas alofim, because up there on that level called thousands, bechinas oiraisa da atika, the level of Torah that's referred to as atik, les miso tamon. There's no such thing as death over there. There's no death comes from the Malach HaMavos. Death comes from the Sitra Achra. The Sitra Achra is called the left side. The left side only goes up to the 90th floor. From the 90th floor, we know Lahavdil, the Empire State Building, people have seen these huge buildings. You have these huge buildings that are up to a certain level, they're this big, and then at a certain point, they go like that, and they come to a point. Lahavdil, on a spiritual level, right and left go up to a pretty high place. There's Chachma and Bina. Chachma's on the right, Bina's on the left. But when you go above Chachma, you go to a place called Keser. There, the Zohar HaKadosh says, there is no left. There is no left side. It's only right. There is no death. There's only life over there. It's so high a spiritual level. Kishom chaim nitzchim, because up there there's eternal life. Achal yidei shochal meitz hadas, however, as a result of Adam Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, nivgam hakoil, everything got messed up. Va'oz sholto haklipa, and then the forces of tumah were able to be effective. Bechinas orlo dechafyo al bris. Just like the orla, the foreskin, the extra piece of skin that covers over the bris kodesh. Venis aker hasechel, and the sechel, the intellect, became spoiled, became damaged. Adam Arishan's wisdom, knowledge, became damaged. The Medrash says that when Adam Arishan was first created, he was teaching the angels. The angels came to him to learn about Hashem. He was Yitzir Kapov, he was handcrafted by Hashem. His level of knowledge and awareness of Hashem was more advanced than the angels. But as a result of choosing the Eitz Hadas, choosing to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which was Tov V'ra, everything became defective. V'al kein i'efsher lekabel ho'or hagodol b'chinas alofim. And from that point on, it was no longer possible to be able to handle the light that's called thousands. Shemishom ikar hachius. That's the real source of life. That's the real source of spirituality. That's the top floor like. Validezeh sholto misa. And that's what made it possible for death to affect Adam Rishon and mankind. Kinistale ko'er. Because a major part of the light disappeared. Shemishom hachayim, which is the source of life. There's a pasuk, Bo'er penei melech chayim, that life comes from light, spiritual light. If 90% of the light went away, so 90% of life went away, the power to live eternally. If you look at the beginning, the Zohar HaKadosh, the Tikkuni Zohar, asks this question, how come in last week's parasha in Bereishis, all of these guys are living 800 years, 900, 960, but where'd they get those numbers from? How come we today are down to 70, 80? What happened? And the Tikkun HaZohar says, simple. It's very simple. They drew their life from a place called Orech Anpin. They got their life from the penthouse. They got it from the top floor, where there they deal in thousands. As a result of the Eitz Hadas, the elevator don't go up there anymore. The elevator only goes up to the eighth floor. It's locked. Nobody goes up. Nobody can go up past there. And on the eighth floor, they deal only in hundreds, up to 120. That's the maximum, as we'll see in a minute. Rav Nosson Zal is going to clarify this. So because they drew their chias from a place called Orech Anpin, it made perfect sense that they could live these hundreds of years. Kinistale ko'er shemishom hachaim, because a major part of that light from which life comes from disappeared. V'nishar hakoil belichius, and everything was left without life. Bechinas miso, with death, chas v'shon. V'lulei chazdo yisborach, and were it not for the incredible kindness of Hashem, hoyo ha'oilam choyzer letoyu vavoyu chas v'shon. Hashem could have just shut down the whole world. Hashem gave Adam and Chava one instruction. You didn't follow the instruction? Have a nice day. Goodbye. We shut it down completely. Ach bechemlas Hashem. However, out of the kindness of Hashem, the chasodov hanifloim, his wondrous kindness, chom al olov, Hashem took pity on Adam Arishoin, va'al oilomoi, and on the world, v'hifli lasois. And Hashem did an incredible thing. What did he do? V'himshich hatikun shel bechinas chalukas alofim lemeois. He realized that things got messed up, and that the world, if he continues feeding Adam HaRishon or the world the 1,000-watt bulbs, they'll just burn up. It'll destroy them completely. So Hashem changed the program, and Hashem switched from 1,000-watt bulbs to 100-watt bulbs. He broke down the light from thousands to hundreds. The Hilbish Ho'er Shehu HaTorah Bebechinas Kosnos Oyer. And Hashem covered up the Torah. He shrank the Torah. He lowered it into garments of leather, oyer with an ayin, garments of leather or skin. The Gemara speaks about this, that originally the term kosnos, it says right after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, that Hashem gave them kosnos oyer v'yalbishem. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir, in his Sefer Torah, the word oyer was written with an aleph, but in our Sefer Torah, it's written with an ayin. And the Sifrei Kabbalah have pages and pages discussing this, about again how originally the light was in thousands, aleph, eleph, and as a result of the sin and everything, we couldn't handle any that anymore. It had to be broken down to the ayin. Ayin 70 is the standard lifetime nowadays, even though people go beyond it. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yemei Shnoiseinu Vohem Shivim Shona, that the standard lifespan is 70, Vim Begvuro Yishmoinim Shona, etc. Kedei Sheyuchal Lehiskayim, in order that the world should be able to continue to function. Hashem had to lower the volume, he had to lower the light in order for the world to continue to exist after the major blowout with the Eitz Hadas. Ki kosnos oyer do tefillin. Because the Tikkun HaZohar says these garments of leather, well, what are we talking about? The Tikkun HaZohar says that's the mitzvah of tefillin, which is this thing that we wear, and it's made not for, it's oyer with an aleph, concealed in oyer with an ayin. It's made from leather, and the leather hides in it an incredible, incredible bright light. Shehem tzimtzumim nifloim lehoiroiz hagedoilim hanimshochim mebechinas atik v'orech anpin. The tefillin that we use today are an incredible shrunken down version of the light of Atik and Orech Anpin, the highest levels of spiritual light, Sheshom HaKoil Bebchinas Alofim, where up there everything is in the thousands, Vayidei Tfilin Nimshochin Mishom HaMoichin Bebchinas Chalukas Alofim Omeos. And by a Jew fulfilling the mitzvah of Tfilin, he's able to receive from that light of the thousands, which is being broken down into hundreds units. Sheze bechinas hashnei shinin shel hatfilin, shin shel shloisha roshim, shin shel arbo roshim. This is the concept on the tfilin shel roish. On the outside of the box, you have two shins there, one shin of three heads and one shin of four heads, which the Sifrei Kabbalah speak a lot about, that represents chochma bina das, keser chochma bina, all kinds of different things related to seichel. But Rav Nosson Zal says, there, the light has already been broken down into hundreds. A shin is 300 or 400, the shin of three heads and four heads. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues. Vze bechinas dovor tzivo le'elef dor. Now we'll understand another famous statement in the Torah. The Torah says that Hashem commanded the Torah for 1,000 generations. And the Gemara explains, Sherotza Hashem Yisporach lahamtin litenes ha-Torah le'elef doer. Hashem really wanted to wait until 1,000 generations had already been born in the world and only then present the Torah. Kedei sheyizdakei cho'olam be'elef doer. So that during those 1,000 generations, the world would go through purification and another purification, refinement, more refinement, more refinement. Kedei sheyekablu es oyer ha-Torah bebchinas alofim. So that we would be able, after those 1,000 generations, to be able to receive the full volume, to be able to receive the Torah in the thousands. Kemoi sheyizke Moshiach. As Moshiach is going to receive it. he's going to be receiving it full volume. Shehu yasig esor bishleimus bebchinas alofim. Moshiach is going to be receiving the light of the Torah, the light of Hashem, on full volume in the thousands. Kamo shekosuv shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in paragraph 93 in Sichas Aran. Ach, however, machmas chatoi hadoyrois, as a result of the sins of all the generations, Adam with the Eitz Hadas, Noach with the flood, the Dor HaFlogo, each one of the generations who messed up repeatedly, Ro'o Hashem saw She'ein Ho'oila Miskayim, that if he waits 1,000 generations to deliver the Torah, there ain't going to be no world to deliver it to. We're gonna self-destruct with all the mess-ups that we're doing. Alkein nesono l'chovov doiris. Therefore, Hashem brought it forward, and he gave the Torah after 26 generations. Moshe Rabbeinu is number 26 from Adam Arishon. If you count from Adam to Sheis, going down to Adam to Hevel to Sheis. Al yedei shebechoch. So, but 1 second, how did he do it? If it's such a bright light, and if the original plan was that it would take 1,000 generations to prepare to receive that bright light in full volume, how did Hashem give it so much earlier? Al yedei shebechochmosoi haniflo tzimtzeim v'chilei ko'or me'alofim lemeyos, that Hashem, with his infinite wisdom, he shrank the light and he broke it down, he chopped it up into hundreds units, kedei shenucha lekabloi, so that we would be able to receive it. V'alkein loy kiblu Yisrael es ha-Torah. Now you'll understand an interesting thing. In which parsha in the Torah was the Torah given on Har Sinai? Parshas Yisro. What happens right before Matan Torah? Yisro comes up with a program. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're doing this all wrong. You're not going to survive trying to handle Klal Yisrael by yourself. It's impossible. You've got to set up a hierarchy. You got to have Sorei Alofim, Sorei Meois, Sorei Chamishim, Sorei Asorois. You have to break it down. V'alkein loy kiblu Yisrael esatoyro ad she'osu Sorei Alofim v'Sorei Meois v'Sorei Chamishim v'Asorois. Now you'll understand why Klal Yisrael was not ready to receive the Torah until this was first put into place, until there was a division of labor. There was this breakdown of thousands, hundreds. Kedei sheyitzamtzemu ho'or me'alofim lemeyos. So that this was the concept of bringing that light down from thousands into hundreds. Kedei sheyuchlu lekabel es ha'Torah. So that we would be able to receive the Torah in a healthy, constructive way. And the Torah that we received is coming from this place. It's all about breaking down the thousands into hundreds. So in order, just we know that the Klal Yisrael parallels the Torah. The Gemara says, Yesh Shishim Ribu Yoisis La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 neshamos of Klal Yisrael. The word Yisrael is Rosh Tevois Yesh Shishim Ribu Yoisis La Torah. So Klal Yisrael has to parallel, has to be in sync with the Torah. If the Torah, in order to be given to us, had to be broken down from thousands to hundreds, then Klal Yisrael had to be broken down from thousands into hundreds in order for it to be a good shidduch, in order for it to line up properly. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues. V'alkein hochruch odom orishon lomus betoich elef shana. Now you'll understand a very interesting point. When Hashem instructed Adam and Chava not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he said, don't eat from it, ki beyoyim achol chamimeno mois tomos. Because on the day you eat from that tree, you're dead. We find that Adam Arishon ended up living almost 1,000 years. 930 years. 70 less than 1,000, because he gave 70 away to David HaMelech, who was initially supposed to be born dead. Ki hachius, kifi hasogas hachochma gdoishe shel haTorah. Because the life of a person is determined by the level of connection, the level of understanding of Torah that that person has. Ki ha-chochma techaya. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Chochma is what gives life to a person. U'kama shekosov, and as it says in the pasuk, ki hu chayecho v'oirech yomecho. This is your life. The Torah is your life. Ve'im ho yochai elef shana, and if Adam HaRishon had lived 1,000 years, he would have had to be receiving light from the thousands. Which once he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was no longer able to handle that. Therefore, Hashem made the day into 1,000 years. There's a pasuk, ki elef shonim b'yeinecha, Kiyoim Esmoil. 1,000 years is like a day by Hashem. Hashem made the day into exactly 1,000 years. Uboze niskayim, thereby being able to fulfill what he said to Adam, ki beyoim achol chamimenu mois tomos. On the day you eat from it, you're going to die. Hashem just stretched the day a little. He stretched it to 1,000 years. K'moisham Rabbi Seinosal, as the Gemara says, ki bevadai niskayim, because Hashem's words were definitely fulfilled. Ki me'achar she'enoi chai elef shana, because once Adam HaRishon did not live a full 1,000 years, ve'enoi yochoi la'alois la'or ho'alofim, which reflects the fact that he's no longer allowed upstairs. He can't get into the top floor. He can't get into where they give out $1,000 bills. Sheshom ikar hachayim, that's the real source of life. Hare sholta boy hamisa, that means that death is taking effect on him. He's no longer exempt. He's no longer added a parsha of death. He was lowered. Originally, he could have been receiving from the alofim where there's no death. But now he was lowered. He was taken out of there and put downstairs, left back. He was left back into junior high. He's no longer in high school. He's in junior high school. He was lowered within 1,000. That means that he is within the framework of death. And this was the great destruction. This was the tremendous damage that was caused by eating from the Eitz Hadas. She'enoi yochoi lekabel oir hu'alofen bi'atzmoi. That man is no longer able to receive that light of 1,000 itself. Sheshom ikrachaim, that's called real living. But rather we're lowered, we've been shrunken, we've been taken down a level to hundreds. Paragraph Hey. Vehine haklal, now Nosal says the fact is, Shaidechet Adam HaRishon Goram Sheshoto HaKlipa HaChoifo Al HaMoyach. As a result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, that opened the door for the Klipa, for the forces of Tumah, which surround the brain of a person, Shehi Zuamas HaNochosh, which is the Tumah of the snake, to be able to affect a person. Just like on the bris milah, there's that skin that covers it. Lahavdol, on the brain, there's a covering, a spiritual covering, this orla. There's a term, the Torah uses the term orlas levavchem, umaltem es orlas levav. There's an orlas halev, and there's an orlas bosor. Vazai yev shelekabel or alofim. And then we no longer are able to receive that light called thousands. Ve'ein shum chius lehoodam. Ulechol ha'olam hatolui boy, kiim al yedei shemetzamtzem amoyer. And therefore, from that point on, man and the entire world that's plugged into man can no longer receive from the light unless it's been shrunken, unless it's been lowered tremendously. Bebchinas chalukas alofim lameyos, the thousands being brought down to hundreds. Ve'gam lozeh tzrichin yegia gedoyla. And even that, even to be able to process $100 bills, requires major effort. That we're saying that the Torah that we have today, in the form that we have it, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, is like baby food, lahavdil. You know, imagine people don't know until a person learns the Zohar HaKadosh knows for him. They think that this is mamish the top of the top. They can't. They think mamish there, but they don't know. They haven't read the story behind the story. They haven't read where we're up to now. That we've been dropped down billions of levels to the point where what we're eating is literally it's called baby food. And even, and we know here again, a person would say baby food, so there's no problem. As soon as the baby's born, you take the baby, you open the mouth, and you pour the whole thing in, right? You have one dead baby. We know that even this little jar of baby food, that's nothing, it's so thin, the baby can only handle like a half a spoon, starts off with a half a spoon at a time, and you have to wait 30 seconds or a minute between spoon and spoon. Rav Nosson says, that's us today. Where for us to process a toisvis or a rush or, you know, or it's the svarim that we're learning today, it requires major yegia, major struggle and effort. Lizgaber b'chol pam, to struggle, l'shaber haklipa hachoyf al amoyach, to break that tumah that's covering our brain, that's blocking us from being able to drink the Torah quickly and well. Shehi bechinas orla dechafi al bris. That's like the orla which covers over the bris kodesh. Ve'oz yecholin lasois kelim v'tzimtzumim. And once we break that klipa, once we put in the effort, then we're able to create vessels and constrictions lekabel hoyer, in order to be able to receive the light. Bebchinas chalukas alofim lemeis, having been broken down from thousands to hundreds. Shehu bechinas tchias hameisim. This is similar to the concept of the dead being brought back to life. Kamo shekosuv shom, as Rabbeinu Zal mentions that over there in paragraph 93 in Sichas Aran, which this halacha is based on. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. Kal yedei chet odom arishoin naflu nitzoitzois beimkei haklipois. Because as a result of Adam eating from the Eitz Hadas, there are millions of holy sparks that fell into the dirt, that fell into the depths of the klipos. Veheim shom bebechinas mesim. And these holy sparks that have fallen into the mud, they're like dead over there. They're not. You don't see any light coming from them because they're covered up with mud. If you take a diamond ring, a beautiful diamond ring that shines in it, and you drop it into mud, you know, you're not going to see any shine. There's no shine anymore. The light is gone because it's smothered. It's covered up with dirt. Because the tumah of the snake has attached itself to them. Shehu sitra demoisa, which is synonymous with death. And the main tumah of the snake, what is the snake all about? He's a big fat liar. He's all about lies. Hashem is emes, and the snake is the opposite of Hashem. The snake was a liar. He lied to Chava. So did Hashem said you're not allowed to eat from any trees, right? No, wrong. Hashem said, oh, if you touch it, you're going to die. Here, look, touch it. Nothing happens. If you eat, nothing's going to happen either. You know why he said not to eat? Lies, just a whole pack of lies is what the Nochash was giving her. Shehu bechinas kfirois, which is synonymous with atheism. Atheism is a lie. Atheism is saying that there is no Hashem. That's a lie. Shemisavivim umechasin al ho'emes ve'muna, which is what covers up the truth and covers up faith. Veheim mizgabrim, and these forces of tuma have power. Machma shenistale ko'or lamala, because the light has left. It has evaporated. It's gone upstairs. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Sforim bring that very often when a person, chas v'shalom, is about to commit a sin, when his neshama sees he's about to do a sin, the neshama says, hey guy, been nice knowing you, have a nice life, I'm out of here. And the neshama goes up, just jumps up to the next floor upstairs and says, I'm not involved, I'm not getting into it, I don't want any part of that. Or part of the person's neshama. Doesn't have to be the whole thing, otherwise the person would be dead. Part of the light leaves because it doesn't want to get damaged, it doesn't want to get defected by the tumah, by the sin, by whatever the person is going to do. Al kein tzrichin yegia gedoyla And that's why we have to struggle so hard in this world to study Gemara, to study Chumash, to study Torah, to draw that light down, to break it, bring it back down, you know, from the thousands to the hundreds in a way that we can process it. In order that everybody should be able to connect with it. Even those people who are on the lowest levels, furthest away from Hashem, that even they should be able to connect with it. Those, and when that's going on, machnim u'megarshim zuam asanochosh, we defeat and we chase away, we remove the tumah of the snake, shehu asheker, which is the falseness, shehu sitra demoisa, which is synonymous with death, u'mechayin hanitzoitzois, and we inject life, new life, into those sparks. Bebechinas tchias hamesim mamish, just like the concept of tchias mesim, taking someone who was dead and bringing him back to life, these sparks, which fell into the mud and everything, they're like dead. And by us going through this, through the struggle that a Jew makes to study Torah in this world, to bring the light down in a manner that we can handle it, the more that light that we bring down, that light is chayim, it's life, it revives, it brings back the dead, it restores life to all of those holy sparks. V'alkein, Daiko Talmud Chacham Shehu Noikim V'Noiter Kenochosh Yochoy Lechalek Alofim Lameyos Kemavur Sham. And that's why Rabbeinu Zal says over there that only a Talmud Chacham who is capable of taking revenge, Nekoma and Netira like a snake, only that Talmud Chacham is qualified to do this, to be able to bring the light down from the thousands to the hundreds. Kize HaTalmud Chacham HaNoikim V'Noiter Bevadai kavanosoi rak la shomayim, veloi bishvil kvoid atzmoi klal chas v'shon. We know that in Pirkei Avos, or throughout the Gemara, it speaks about a person who is miskabed bekoloin chaveroi. This is one of the worst things that a person could possibly do, and unfortunately, this is one of the very popular things in the world, where a people like to be respected. They like people to look up to them. They like people to think that I'm great and I'm wonderful and I'm good and I'm sweet and I'm the best. And most people don't necessarily have what to show for that. They can't show their billions of good deeds and their great wisdom and everything because they don't have it necessarily. So what do they do? If they can't earn the respect that way, how do you earn respect? If I call him a dumbbell and he's an idiot and he's stupid and if I can make everybody around people look bad and nobody called me an idiot, stupid dumbbell, then I'm obviously bigger and better and smarter than everybody else. If I can constantly put people down, put other people down, then and I'm not putting myself down, then obviously I'm above everybody. Obviously I'm great. That's called miskabed bekoloin chaveroi, which the Gemara says is a terrible, terrible sin. He's trying to gain respect through the insult and embarrassment of somebody else. Here, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about, and the Gemara in Yuma speaks about this, about a Talmud Chacham who sees that on certain rare occasions, he has to pull the trigger. He has to smack somebody. He has to insult somebody to jar them back to reality, to get them to fix themselves, to get them to really realize that they've crossed a major red line. But the Gemara uses the wording, he is noikim v'noiter like a nochosh. He does it like a snake. What's the comparison to a snake? The Gemara says that the curse that Hashem, and Rav Nosal mentioned this soon, the curse that Hashem gave to the snake was, v'hanochosh ofor lachmoy. A nochosh doesn't know what orange juice is, apple juice, steak, ice cream, vanilla. He tastes one thing only, dirt. Whatever he eats, if he bites into a steak, if he bites into someone's leg, a leg of beef or a rib, he tastes only dirt. He has no pleasure whatsoever from it. So the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham if he ever has to slam somebody, if he has ever has to insult somebody, he's got to make sure that he's doing it like a nochash, meaning that he is not deriving any pleasure whatsoever, any pleasure, any respect, any anything out of it. He's doing it only 100% for the benefit of the person. Nothing else. There's nothing personal involved. So Rav Nosson Zal writes here, so a Talmud Chacham who is noikem venoite bevadai kavanosoi rak l'shamayim. His intention is definitely only for the respect for Hashem. V'loy b'shvil kvoid atzmoi klal chas v'shom. He's not doing it to make himself look big, powerful, strong, whatsoever. Ki bevadai einoi oiver aloi sikoim v'loy siter chas v'shom. Because a Talmud Chacham would definitely not break these laws in the Torah. There's a law in the Torah that says loy sikoim and loy siter. So how can you tell me that a Talmud Chacham has to be noikim v'noiter? So the Gemara says, when he does it, it's not nekama, it's not netira. Ukamoishem afal pel shom de Gemara beyuma in shom. As the Gemara over there elaborates on this, rak kol kavanosoi la shamayim. But rather, his intention is only the honor of Hashem. Leman ho emes levad. It's only defending the truth. It's nothing personal whatsoever. Alkein tzorech daika shia noikem v'noiter kenochosh. Therefore, a Talmud Chacham, in order to qualify for a Talmud Chacham, he can't be a piece of jelly. He can't be a jellyfish. He can't be a piece of nothing. He's got to sometimes be able to stand up for Hashem, stand up for Kavod HaTorah. If he sees he's teaching Torah and people are chewing gum, they're playing around, they're fooling around, this, that, there are times that he has to pull a trigger, that he has to make people know you're spitting on Hashem. You're not insulting me. You're insulting the one who sent me. The Gemara tells the famous story about one of the greatest rabbis, Rabbi Elozo bar Rabbi Shimon, or the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, or the grandson, there's two opinions, who once gave a shir to the yeshiva. This is in the time of the Gemara. And you could imagine what kind of shir it was. And you could imagine how high he was feeling after this shir. He was dealing not in the thousands, he was in the billions. And he came out of the shir feeling so high, and he was leaving, and he saw a guy that looked uglier than anything he had ever seen in his life. And he made a comment. He made a comment to this guy about his ugliness, that, I don't know. And the person looked at him, looked at this big rabbi, and said to him, tell it to the one who created me. You didn't insult me. I didn't create myself. I didn't make this. There's a creator who made me, and he made me like this. If you think that I look stupid, ugly, da-da, tell it to him. The Gemara says that rabbi turned white, purple, gray, every color in the world. He jumped off his horse and he begged the person to forgive him. The person told him, get lost. Get lost. Forgive nothing. Go fly a kite. And the Gemara says the rabbi walked with him for miles, walked with him, begging him the whole time. Please, he realized that, what am I, nuts? Look what the Satan can do to us. The Satan can make us crazy, that a person's feeling big. And again, what's the definition of big? If I can spit on somebody else. That's really big. In this idiotic world that we're living in this Olam HaSheker, that the person, the guys who make a million, 30 million, the comedians, what's their comedy? It's all about making fun of everybody. Making fun, imitating the president, imitating this. We can make everybody look stupid, make everybody laugh at everybody else. That's the ultimate high. The Gemara says, until this rabbi was walking into the city, like where they knew him, and thousands of people came out to greet him. And they said to this person, you know, do you know who you're walking next to? He said, yeah, there shouldn't be any like him in Klal Yisrael. There shouldn't be any more like him. And the Gemara says the rabbi walked right into a shul and he got up and spoke in front of a large crowd and he said that a Jew should always be soft like a reed and never be stiff like a tree. That a Jew should always be humble, never. Just because you just gave a shir in Kabul, just because you want you have $1 billion, just because you... Never, don't ever be big. Don't ever be tough. Remember that there is big. Hashem is big. And compared to Hashem, your billions and your knowledge, it's a joke. It's baby food. It's nonsense. V'oz daika hu Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara says, then he's considered a Talmud Chacham. If he can be noikem v'noiter kenochosh, then he's called a Talmud Chacham. K'mo Yisham Rabbi Senezal. Ki osur sheyihye onov shoyter. Because a person is not supposed to be a humble idiot. Humility is good. Humility is a tremendous quality when it's not attached to lunacy or idiocy. Ki afal pi shetzrichen liyos koton be'enov lifnei kol odom sheboilam. Because even though a Jew is supposed to feel tiny in his own eyes to himself, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, compared to anybody else in the world, still, he's not allowed to lie. He's not allowed to call himself a Russia. He's not allowed, there's certain lines that he's not allowed to cross. Meaning that every piece of truth that a Jew was zoicha to learn and to understand, based on what he received from his rabbis, Osurloi levatel daitoi, he's not allowed to bend his head. Like if somebody challenges him, you get a person who's becoming religious, let's say, and his parents are not religious, or his uncle is not religious, and his uncle sees him wearing a pair of tzitzis and says, what is that stupid, idiotic thing that you're wearing? He can't say, yes, uncle, you're right. I didn't realize. It does look stupid, idiotic. He's not allowed to say that. If he learned that tzitzis represents the 613 mitzvahs, that this is a heavenly garment, this is a spiritual garment, and when a Jew wears tzitzis, it's like he's fulfilling all 613 mitzvahs in one shot, and it's a guarantee to get into Gan Eden and everything, he has to tell that person, when we bury you, do you want to be buried in your sneakers or your bathing suit? Tell me, pick out which suit, which tie. Which tie would you like to wear into the grave? The purple one with the yellow polka dots or the yellow one with the purple? Which one? To remind the person that he thinks he's so funny, he's so smart because he's wearing his three-piece. It's all a joke. It's an Olam HaSheker. It's an upside-down world where people think that that's classy. A pair of wing-tipped alligator shoes that cost $1,300, that's classy. They don't know that that's going into the toilet. That's going, if it's used in it, it goes nowhere. Whereas tzitzis is eternal. Person puts on tzitzis for one day, that gets registered on his account in the vault, and that's there forever and ever and ever, that this person was zeicher to do all tariyak mitzvahs, or a person puts on tefillin, a person keeps Shabbos. So when somebody makes fun, if a person is learning about Hashem, learning about Yiddishkeit, and somebody makes fun of it, this, that, you're not allowed to put your head down and just say, roll over and play dead. Osir loy levatel daitoy, afilu neged hagodol shebigdoylim, even if it's a big, big rabbi. Even if it's a big, here, look at this. Look at this example we just gave. One of the Tanoim in the Gemara crossed a red line. This person looked at him and hit him right between the eyes. Right between, no holds barred. He didn't say, yes, you're right, I'm very ugly. Because you're a big rabbi, and whatever you say is right. He reminded him that you also have a rabbi. As we find by all the rabbis throughout Shas, whereby even though every one of them was outstanding in their humility, you see them arguing in the Gemara, they're not backing down. A rabbi challenges him, he comes right back and says, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm right. And they go back and forth, and the person says, wow, I always thought a rabbi was that rabbis are people who say yes, yes. What happened? In the Gemara, they have these other kind of rabbis who every word is no, everything is no, you're wrong. Back and forth, ping pong, constantly arguing, picking an argument every inch of the way, defending what they learned from their rabbi. Because if my rabbi taught me this, then I'm going to stand behind it with everything I have. B'chol darkei Torah she'ulimdim. They were strong and confident about every piece of Torah that they learned. K'mo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, lo yevoishu Ki yedapru esoivim bashoar. We will not be ashamed or embarrassed when the enemies talk, you know, at the entranceways. Like people are making fun, they're murmuring and mumbling. Who cares? I'm embarrassed for them. They're embarrassed. In their alligator shoes and their three, they have what to be ashamed of. I don't know, I'm going to be ashamed of my tefillin, my tzitzis. You know what tefillin is? Tefillin is the crown of Hashem, the Zohar Kodesh calls it. Person with some tefillin, just because it's black, just because it's leather, because of kosna soar. Wait till you learn the Zohar Kodesh. You find out what leather is, that leather is light and all kinds of things. Just because you don't know doesn't mean it's nutty. People have an attitude, if I'm not doing it, it must be wrong, it's stupid, it's silly. But a Jew has to stand up for Hashem, stand up for his rabbi, stand up for the Torah. We'll hold it over here for now. We'll continue.